Friday, September 29th, 2023, last Friday in the month of September, 12 and a half minutes past the hour. It's time for Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, live here every Friday morning from 9:15 until 10 a.m. Replay Sunday morning, 8:15 until 9 a.m. And then Wednesday and Thursday, 3:15 until 4 p.m. Go to the website, wwgh1071.com. to get all of our episodes. They are all there. First one under Program Archives. Thanks, Adam, for doing that. And also available on the Facebook page. Now, it's interesting. During last week's episode, we said we're going to talk about something because we ran out of time last week. And right before Pastor Whitaker came in, I was asking Matt, I thought, now what in the world was that we were going to talk about this week? Well, Pastor Whitaker remembered. Pastor, what are we going to talk about this week?
Ghosting. But I do want to welcome you this morning to the show, to all you listeners out there in the Marion and surrounding areas and coast to coast. And I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. I wanted to make a couple of quick announcements this morning about that. This Sunday, starting at 3:30 in the afternoon in the Prospect Park, come and enjoy, chili and hot dogs and nachos. And we're making apple butter in a big copper pot. And we're going to have games and just all kinds of music, all kinds of fun stuff to do. Bring your kids. It doesn't cost a dime, and it's right there in Prospect Park. And also, on Tuesday, will be our first Team Kids for Christ of the year. That's on Tuesday, the first and third Tuesday of the month at 6:30. It runs from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And parents, you can bring your kids from actually ages 3 all the way through 5th grade. And they have a great time of craft and games and story and learning time. And that is in the KP Hall on Water Street also. And then finally, Pizza with Pastor starts at that same time where I meet with teenagers from all different schools and all over, and they come and eat pizza and talk about whatever current event is. And of course, last thing I want to say is remind everyone that Jeff's Bicycle Shop in Prospect does have those new electric bikes in, so grab them before the price goes through the roof, because I think the gas is going to go through the roof. There, I shut a mouth.
Got it. As we head into autumn, all these things.
They don't seem to slow. Everyone always thinks, when it cools off, maybe I'll slow down a little. That's not the case.
You know, I think this quarter of the year, from October, November, December, is the busiest quarter all year. Now, we think of summer as being very busy, but a lot of kids are out of school at that point. A lot of people go on vacation at that point. Makes life a little easier. But when you have all of these autumn events, and then you're right into Thanksgiving, then you're right into Christmas, it's a busy time.
You know, it is. It's a very busy time. And I just ask everyone to take into perspective the things that are important. Don't overload yourself. I'll tell you, if you can afford to do it, and I know that a lot of people can't, and I understand, certainly been there, start your Christmas shopping now and get it over with, so that's one stress off your plate. There's so many neat things to enjoy during the Christmas season that go on, different programs and plays and choirs and events and things and all kinds of fun stuff we can do around the Christmas time. And then there's just neat activities to do that aren't really expensive. There's Christmas parades. But if you're preoccupied with buying gifts, it's not so easy. And, a lot of people say, well, I want to wait till, the mad rush at Thanksgiving. What's that called?
Black Friday.
And Black Friday, really, when you go out there, you don't get any real deals. I'm just telling you. I mean, everybody goes crazy to go to these places. Half the time, the things they really wanted to get, everyone else did too. That's why they're on sale. And it's a long day of frustration. Just be smart. Shop as you should and as you can. Even if you don't have much money, maybe buy, say you have 5 children to buy for. Buy for one child every 2 or 3 weeks, and you'll have it done at Christmas time.
You know, the only reason, and this has changed with the internet, and I do order a few gifts on the internet, but I like, during the holiday season, and I would never miss an event to go out and do this, but I do like going to the stores when they're decorated and the music is playing.
Me too. I used to like that. We used to take our kids to Westland Mall when it was a new mall. Fairly new. It was beautiful because not just all the malls were that way, not just were the stores decorated and the music going, but the malls themselves are decorated, and Marion Mall was like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Loved walking through, and just, you really didn't have to spend much money. Just go enjoy yourself and look at stuff. And boy, society seems to have changed lately, which brings us into talking about this ghosting thing. And maybe I want to morph it a little today and also talk about what is going on with our current society. Not just the fact that we walk out of people's lives without batting an eye, but everyone I talk to is having trouble getting employees and keeping employees. The schools are having a horrible time keeping people in teaching positions, to the point that, you know, there's so many substitute school teachers and there's so many aides right now that it's and they can't keep those either. And it just seems like management went from managing your product, managing sales, and some managing of people, to now like 60% of what they do is just trying to have people be there to fill a spot.
Well, I think what happened is you got people in spots who, and I'm not even saying it's the top people, because the top people, by and large, are usually not the ones who are causing the problem. But they have appointed people into maybe positions that head departments and things of that nature. And these people have come in and it's not even about doing the job. I think they're qualified to do the job. I think the problem is they're too busy doing other things that they don't even show up to do the job. And when you do that, everybody under you loses. They get angry. Well, if the boss isn't going to be here, why am I going to be here?
I agree with you, and I think that one of the things that corporations, even schools and everyone start doing is saying, look, here's what you were hired to do. You're going to do it. You're not going to pass the buck. I talked to a guy one time that worked for Timken Roller Bearing for years, and he says, let me explain to you management philosophy. He says, you go to your boss and say, hey, we've got a problem. And the boss says, okay, I hear that. I'll take care of that. I got you covered. He goes to the person above him and says, hey, I got a problem. And the guy says, hey, I hear that. I got you covered. And they just keep passing the buck, and nothing ever happens. And it's because people aren't being held accountable to do the job in which they're called for. I heard something interesting the other day. It was a lady on the radio. She was a teacher in Minnesota, I believe it was. And they were talking about parental rights as far as what our kids are learning and how they're learning and whatnot, and the amount of people that are opting to homeschool and that kind of thing. And she said, I have a master's degree in teaching. What do they have? They have no business deciding what their kids need to learn and teaching their children when they're not capable and having any say-so in what we teach them. And I thought, now, wait a minute. You've got a master's degree in teaching. That means what you're supposed to do is teach. You're not supposed to decide what to teach. You're not supposed to decide what your master's in is being able to teach. You're not an expert in every field. You're not an expert. You're not a psychologist. You're not a sociologist. You're not a minister. You're not any of those things. And people, you know, they have their children, and they said, this is our family values, what we believe. And this, our country, that's who we are as a whole. Now, collectively, we make some decisions that are pretty much very widespread. I really wish that a lot of our school decisions would be left to the local schools and at bare minimum the state. But that's not the case always. But once again, there's a case where someone doesn't really recognize their role. They think because they have a master's in teaching that they should be able to make the decisions on what your kids need to learn. And if we look at where we stand in the country in education today, or in the world, I mean, our world state, what, we're 33rd, I think, in education. Someone's not making the right decisions on what is being taught. I don't deny the teacher's ability to teach. But I think that once again we get into this societal thing where nobody's taking personal responsibility for their job. And unfortunately in the corporate thing, what you were talking about, a lot of times it's the people at the bottom that just get stomped on.
Well, I think we become a society both ways in this conversation of rationalizers. because I think the people who collect the paychecks.
Good point.
Yeah, people who become the paycheck, collect the paychecks and are the department heads or whatever you want to call them, they rationalize that I don't have to be here because I can still get what I need to get done someplace else. But you don't realize if being there is part of the job, there's a reason for that. So that's that side of the rationalization. And the homeschool rationalization or the teaching rationalization in the school, teach what we need to teach, that's an interesting one because you can't, if somebody believes that homeschooling is better, if somebody believes that somebody doesn't know something, teachers are not good, certain teachers are not good, you rationalize that way, and that's the way it goes.
That's what you're going to do. Yeah. And I don't think that anyone is going to overly change your mind. There are, obviously, people aren't happy. If people were happy, and if we had a normal societal situation, somewhat normal, we've always had ebbs and flows and peaks and valleys, but I think that we wouldn't be seeing widespread some of the things we're seeing with nobody can fill a employee list, I mean a roster. It's almost impossible. Why aren't people wanting to get up? What happened? What is it that so strongly affected the American spirit and the American drive? That was a real thing. That wasn't just pie in the sky. The American spirit.
Money.
Okay, tell me about that.
Money. Why? Because most people will say people are lazy. Well, you know, that's a cop-out, just saying people are lazy. Because you know what? Door-to-door, most people are not lazy. But money, if you are driven by money, and you, let's say you're making a job that's $25 an hour, and for some reason that job comes to an end, whether you're fired or you're laid off or the company goes out of business or whatever happens. Well, if you're not 20 years old anymore, it's hard for you to go back to $12 an hour or $13 an hour, which is still above the minimum wage by $5. So you say, well, gee whiz, I'm not going to do that. Well, let me just ride this unemployment. Let me ride whatever I can ride because I don't have that drive anymore to go out and do those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And then the main factor there's money. Because I know that if somebody walked up and said, well, here's $25 an hour to do this job, you do it.
I think another thing, yeah, I agree. And I think that, well, I don't know about that either. Because I know that just a while back, Whirlpool was offering unbelievable cash and incentives for people to come, and they couldn't get them to come. And my son-in-law works for a rather large construction firm, and they hire and fire a lot. They don't fire a lot. They try to hire a lot. But it's amazing what they pay. And what they're paying, Scott, I'm telling you, is a lot of money. And they cannot get people to even apply.
Well, we were talking about this in hour number one, oddly enough. And the argument we were having, discussion, was that there aren't jobs in Marion that pay well. Whirlpool. Well,
Whirlpool was.
Yachio is hiring
absolutely
directly right now. But people don't want to do those jobs. Well, even McDonald's right now pays well enough.
They don't want to do those jobs. And see, here's the thing. I don't know if you can remember this. I can. I'm a little older than you. When I was younger, most of my friends' parents worked at a company that they started in probably when they were 18 or 19 years old, unless they went to college, or, you know, whatever, the service or whatever. But anyway, when they went into the workforce, they started a job and they stayed there and they never left. And they gradually climbed a ladder, and they earned what they earned. They lived how they lived, and they made the best of what they had. And their enjoyment was cooking on a grill on the weekend, taking a vacation this summer, visiting with friends. You know, maybe their church family, maybe if that's not a thing, but softball teams, whatever they wanted to do. And that seemed all fine, but somehow today that stopped satisfying people. And part of the problem is, and I'll say this, when you went to work for a Westinghouse or a Whirlpool or a whatever those companies were, they pretty much stayed in business most of the time. And even if they went into receivership, a lot of times you kept your job, or, you know, they would shift to another company. But some of these people, they can have 30-year jobs. I know a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, his dad worked for International Harvester, and he started there, and he ended there. And you know, that was just a common thing. Today, you can't count on, A, your job staying there, and B, they force you out at a certain age because they want to buy out your job. They make it more difficult to do because they're saying, wait a minute, I can go hire two people for what this guy is now making, and because you see what I mean? And they take those cream of the crop at the top that know everything they're doing, and they go right back to training people again, and they let those people go. And every Honda, all of them do buyouts.
You know, the worst area I think this has traveled into is medicine. Because, now, I still believe that the doctors do want to be there, and the specialists do want to be there, because that takes an awful lot of schooling, an awful lot of boards you have to pass, an awful lot of stuff you have to go through. But I think the positions that have really hurt, because you will hear now all the time, we have no bedside manner anymore. I think what has hurt is the nurses. The nurses and the orderlies and people who work on the lower tier of the medical industry, because you can get those jobs fairly easy now as far as education goes, and those jobs do pay enough to pay your bills, maybe get a little bit of retirement going. They're a lot of times 9-to-5 jobs if you work in a doctor's office, don't work the weekends, don't work a lot of the holidays, but they don't really love those jobs, and because they don't love those jobs, they're not particularly nice to the people who are coming in. It becomes a pain in the neck to them. If you don't like your job, and you're dealing with public, and certainly the medical field's dealing with the public, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be, and it used to be people, remember when the receptionist in the doctor's office was not a nurse, and that she actually wanted to be there because it was a good-paying job?
Yeah.
And she was a nice lady.
Yeah,
she'd do what she wanted
that
for you. Now, it's somebody behind a glass window. Slide that thing open, slide that thing shut. What's your name? Gotcha. Boop.
We've insulated ourselves too much from people, and I think that most of it, honestly, an awful lot of it is our social life today is on social media and not with people face to face. And we've robbed ourselves of that getting to know you attitude and that whole friendship picture that you could develop and being nice to people. We're becoming a very different society than we've ever been. And I do have to bring a lot of it back to the amount of time that we spend, and I'm guilty of it, too. I mean, I don't know that anybody that has social media isn't guilty of it at some point. They can tell you, oh, I have the phone, but I don't believe it. They're on it.
Well, I brought this up yesterday. This kind of depressed me. I guess Monday was something to do with daughters. National Mother-Daughter Day.
National Daughter's Day.
Daughter's Day. Okay. Well, you know, and again, I'm not against this at all, but I saw so many pictures on that day that I didn't know it was Daughter's Day because I don't have a daughter. So this is going on, and all of a sudden I'm seeing all these pictures of people's daughters with these little nice sayings. Now, here's the problem I have with it. You know, post it if you want. Fine. You know, I'm not the arbiter of what people post on social media. But here's what I think when it comes to that kid, because I do work with a lot of kids in school and have for a long time now. Because of that, that's what it took you to say something nice about your kid on
Facebook? No, I don't think so. I think that because I posted on it, and I'll tell you the reason I did. I talk to my daughters and praise them all the time, but and my daughter-in-law, who is a daughter also. But any opportunity I can get to say these are my beautiful daughters and this is who they are, I take. And I think most
people. And that's good.
Most people are that way. National Son's Day was the next day. I posted a picture of my son. That's why Terry just came in. Sean just came in and said, hey, your son looks just like you.
See, I didn't see
all that.
Now, see, I didn't even know about National Son's Day.
Yeah, it was the next
day. I don't know if that was a less picture day or maybe I just wasn't paying attention
but,
that
but,
day.
But, you know, it's a thing to say, look, I'm happy with my – let me show you my kids. I'm proud of them. And I think that's what most people do. I think that they do – look, if you're a person that doesn't talk about your children or praise your children or appreciate them 364 days a year, you're not going to even post on the 366.
Well, see, but that's what here's the thing.
65th, yeah.
People can certainly do whatever they want whenever they want to do it. I'm not the arbiter of social media, but I think what the problem for me is that if that's the one day I see you doing it, you know, what are these social media mores that we have with that? You know, just tell them. And if you do tell them, great. That's what I think the whole point is.
No, I think the point is showing other people, not your kids. Your kids love to see the fact, hey, mom and dad, you know, appreciated me and put that up there. You know, everyone I know put it up there. Mom and dad didn't put me up there, you know. But the point is that, yeah, I think they appreciate it. And I love, you know, I'm thrilled with my kids, and I think that's a lot of what most people do. Just like the fair pictures, we just finished the Delaware Fair, and all the people their kids were showing, and I was one of them. Well, I didn't do too much of it this year, but they posted pictures of their kids and their grandkids and the awards they got. They're proud of them, and I celebrate that. I think it's a good thing.
Well, you've got to be proud of your kids, and I think that's one of the biggest things in the world that is going on, is that we don't pay enough attention to our kids. We're paying attention to everything else, but it's sad to me that I don't know. I see all these lines and hearts and so on and so forth, and it seems to me as if, in a way, that we have to be prompted. Now, if at home you're still doing it every day of the week, great.
I don't think that you have to be prompted. I think they just give you a venue to do it and maybe a reminder. You know, it's kind of like birthdays and anniversaries and 4th of July. You know, I don't think that you have to be prompted to appreciate the fact your child was born or your husband or wife was born or a friend was born. But I think that a day when you can just say, hey, happy birthday.
Well, I just hope I live long enough to see, because I really am fascinated by social media on the whole, especially people's kids. Because if you post a picture of your young kids, is what I'm talking about here, kids under 18, mm-hmm. If you're posting a picture of them...
Be careful with that, folks.
Well, but here's my thing is, they don't really have control of you doing that. If you're dressing them up in funny outfits or taking...
I'll tell you what, my kids will tell me, don't you dare post that.
Well, see, there you go.
Or my grandkids say, don't you dare post that. And I honor that, and I don't do it. So I think we have to be careful in that manner. Sometimes I'll post a picture of a friend in a goofy situation just to get them, just to get their goat. But and they laugh and they do the same thing back to me. But I think that, yeah, one thing about, that's a good point you brought up, because I think one thing we have to do is we have to honor people's privacy if they want it. And I think that you have to be careful, parents. Please, please be careful about posting pictures of little kids, especially in too cute little outfits and things. There are wretched, wretched predators out there. And don't say, oh, look, here's my child. Isn't she beautiful? She goes to blah, blah, blah school 3 days a week. You're telling them right where your kid is at. I mean, because this... Can we shift subjects a minute?
Go ahead.
I love today's show, but I want to shift something because there's something that has really been weighing so heavily on me. And please, please, you out there in listener land, call in if you have any thoughts or opinions on this. I'll begin it by saying that our government, our leaders, our everyone, a lot of the media are so focused on... our own desires, our own agenda, our own politicians, spending a lot of time and money going after things that aren't going to make a hell of beans difference in the end. But one thing that there is that's going on, that there is not enough effort out there, is child trafficking. In the last 2 years, less than 2 years, about 18 months. Are you ready for this number? This just staggered me. This was testimony before Congress. We have misplaced 85,000 children that have come across the border. No one knows where they are. No one knows where they are. They came across the border. They were supposedly sent here, sent there, sent here, sent there. They're missing. So many of them are going immediately into being trafficked back out of the country, trafficked to places in the country. They are young people Moms, watch your kids. Don't let them run the streets. These people are disgusting. We are not doing the effort we need to make kids safe. We're not doing the prosecution quickly enough. I do know that they're going after more people on the internet. If they're pulling up child porn, you're going to jail today and you're getting real sentences. But it's that next step. There's a group out there, Scott, that is a group of retired police officers and law enforcement people and some former military that have formed a group. I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but they go into other countries and into our country, and they raid places that have taken children. And there's one particular – I'll give, show you how sick these people are that do this. They were in a foreign country, I can't remember which one it was off the top of my head, but they rescued several little kids, little girls, that were 6 and 7 years old. They were so doped up that they couldn't, when they went in, they had to carry them out. The governments are allowing these groups in to do it in many cases. They don't want to do it themselves, they'll allow sanction them doing it. In the process, through internet traffic, they found a man in Washington State that was in his 60s that had just purchased an 18-month-old baby for his own use. And they set up a sting to where when the person that was to meet him to deliver it arrested him and got the baby back at that time. But this was a baby that was stolen, 18 months old, and they said these children never make it more than usually 5 days once they get to their predator, to where they're dead and discarded. Now, I want to tell you something. If that doesn't raise the hair on the back of your neck and make you sick, nothing does. I don't like talking about this stuff. But here we are going out, you know, quit going after everybody for crying out loud. Look, if somebody breaks the law in politics, file charges, get it over with, and get it done. Quit making it the center of our attention. We've got kids being abused horribly in this country. The sexual crimes in this country are off the charts. We have little kids afraid to go home at night, to go to sleep at night. There's not a school teacher in any school anywhere, and I can say this, I believe this, because I've heard enough of it that I know, and in districts everywhere, there isn't a school teacher in a classroom that is there all the time in the elementary school that could not probably tell you of a child that they fear that that's going on in their home. We've got some serious stuff to address in this country. And if we're going to call ourselves the good people we think we are, well, let's start putting our actions where our mouth is and quit going after frivolous things that take up all of our media time for those I gotcha stories, and go get the ones that need got.
Well, I mean, nobody's going to disagree with these things need to be dealt with. I think the problem, by and large, it follows all areas, is that we are a reflection, the media, the radio, television, internet, newspapers, whatever it is, we are a reflection of what people want. If people weren't buying it or watching it, we would not put it on. And the problem is, when you do a show on things that actually do matter to people, if you talk about the city losing money because of an issue with the auditor, if you talk about anything local, if you talk about homelessness, if you talk about real problems that people are, vets who can't get medical care, who are homeless on the street, nobody cares. Nobody wants to watch that. So they want to watch the other stuff. So it's much like with elections. When we had the conversation, I think a few weeks ago, about, you know, would you vote for a single person? Would you vote for somebody who was older? Would you vote for whatever? Right. Well, you vote them in, vote them out. If you don't want to watch this on television, stop watching it, and they will stop putting it on, because I guarantee you...
Oh, I agree, Scott. I completely agree. Money drives everything.
It does.
And I know that you're not a big fan of boycotting certain things, but I firmly believe that if you don't agree with something, don't do it. Don't take part in what they do. And when they see there's a problem there, maybe they'll change how things are. I'll give you a good example. Right now, there's some states that have passed laws that makes it easy to loot. And we know now how many stores was it that CVS is closing? Like almost all of them. right. in those states, and Target's closing them right, and they just can't. And the sad thing is, they're in those neighborhoods that really need them. But you know, as long as it's under $1,000, you just go in and walk out of the store with it. So the point is, the media is talking about that, and because the media is talking about it, I'm hearing in the background, I'm hearing efforts being made with law enforcement to say, wait a minute, we got to walk this back. Well, it's the same thing with this child trafficking in the sex trade industry. I think, first of all, if that's reported, people will pay attention. I mean, because it's just so jaw-dropping. And second, they're going to demand someone does something. And the third thing is this, whether that's on the news, whether it's something that people demand or not, the people that are in the positions of authority and vow to serve and protect our country need to be serving and protecting our children.
Well, and this does come back to boycotting in a way. I'm not against a personal boycott. If somebody doesn't want to watch something or do something or pay attention, that's fine. I just think it becomes a reactionary measure when you start going after people's sponsors. When I don't like it, nobody else should like it either. Because then what happens is when you try to go after their sponsors, when you try to get rid of them, which I guess now we've even come up with a new term, it's not boycotting, it's cancel culture. When you try to cancel that person, well, the reaction to that, they're going to try to cancel you. And now you have the people same cancel. Well, you just could have turned it off. That's it. Yeah. Turn it off. Why are you going after their sponsors? Why are you going after all that? Because they're going to go after you. Guaranteed.
Well, and here's the bottom line, is if you just turn it off, then the sponsors are going to say, we're not getting the viewership
there
we were.
There you go.
And that's how that works.
Right.
I see exactly what you're saying. But don't you feel, Scott, that this is a major issue in the world, in our country today? This child, I just got done saying that 85,000 kids in the last less than 2 years have disappeared coming across our border. 85,000.
But you know where we've come in this society? Now, think about this. And you watch this happen every time it happens. And we're going to see it because we're getting into that season. Hurricanes. Okay? We don't have hurricanes in Ohio. Now, I guarantee you want politics knocked off all your news channels? Just wait for a hurricane. Because when that hurricane comes in, you will have the reporter grabbing a hold of the lamppost and watch their smock go flying. Because you want to know the ratings. Oh, my gosh. They go through the roof. We love to watch that. Why?
Scott, when are we going to get back to doing what's right in the position that we have? We talked about this a few minutes ago. We talked about the boss that passes the buck. When are we going to get back to a boss that does his job, an employee that does his job, and they do it completely to where I'm not passing it off on you. I'm not beating you over the head because the boss just yelled at me. What I know darn well is my fault. But we seem to get away with what we can today.
You know, when people support you who don't have to, that's when it'll change. Because even in a job, in that particular situation, where your boss maybe is awful, but you want to keep that job. You like that job, but your boss is making it very difficult. If there are people under you, around you, on your level, who will support you in what you're saying against your boss, well, then maybe you might get somewhere. And it goes the same thing, what we're talking about the media, if we're talking about society, if there are people who will support, you know, the story of the trafficking. If that is something people will watch and want to watch, or one station covers that very well, and people support that, it'll be there.
I mentioned the media, but my main thing wasn't the media. My main thing was
politicians.
What was politicians, law? I mean, law enforcement's pretty strapped anyway. But talk to a police officer; they'll tell you. You know, this is just unbelievable what's going on. And why? I guess my whole point is, why aren't we focusing more on this? Why can't we see these Senate committees that are having people raise their hands and say, let me on the committee. I want to help. Let's get this done. Why aren't we putting some teeth behind people that have stopped this kind of stuff? Because it's horrid. You know, we talk about, everyone says, well, you know, I don't know about believing in God anymore and that kind of thing. When we started becoming a godless society 25, 30 years ago, and it's snowballed, you can parallel it right with it. The morality in this country falling apart. You can parallel right with it the abuse of children, all this sick stuff that we never used to have to deal with. And I hear people say, well, you just didn't hear about it. Baloney. I mean, I'm sure it happened, but it happened in a limited form. today it is so stinking rampant because people have no moral basis in which to base their lives on. They don't have. There was a time 50 years ago, even if you didn't live by the Ten Commandments, you knew them because you knew them growing up. And most people, even if they didn't call themselves a Christian or call themselves, they tried to live basically by the rules, those values based in the Ten Commandments, and our country did. That is why we brought this up several times, 25, 30 years ago, whatever it was, when Gary Hart was running for office. All he had to do was get caught pictures with him and with a sweetie on a boat, and his campaign was over. Today, people wouldn't even bat an eye at that.
But look at people's own lives.
They're a mess.
There you go.
That's
your life's a mess. How can we judge?
That's my whole point. Oh, I don't want to go after them. They'll come after me. You ever hear that?
Well, I don't even know if it's that anymore. I just think people, if you have and this is a big term to use, but if you have an off-the-rack culture, and I'm not talking about everybody, just a societal norm, when something becomes a societal norm, we've talked about divorces over and over on this program. When it's the norm to have 4, 3, whatever, 5 divorces, well, you know what? I'm sure affairs happened in there. I'm sure that infidelity happened. I'm sure that all kinds of things happened. So when the politician or the person in power does it, well, okay. I did it.
Today it is. I mean, look at our divorce rate. It didn't used to be that.
No.
When I was a kid, excuse me, I knew very few kids, and when I'm talking about elementary age, it changed very rapidly about the time I was in middle school. But elementary age, I knew very few kids' parents were divorced. It just wasn't a thing. People made a commitment. It's just like their jobs. They made a commitment, they stuck to it. Come good or bad, they stuck to it, and we made commitments and did it. And today we're so much flying by the seat of our pants. But I agree with you about people saying, well, I'll tell you a situation. I know somebody that is a couple blocks from here, right now where we're sitting, that their daughter is into some really bad stuff. But they don't want to say anything to their daughter, because if they say anything to her daughter, she's going to come right back at them and saying, well, you did that to me when I was young. You know, and I know, and I'm telling you, I know the person, I know what happened, I know the situation. They won't correct their child because they did the same thing to their child when their child was young.
Well, how about this situation? I know of a situation, and again, because I was around at the time, I guess is why I know about it. I mean, somebody had to tell me. It wasn't like it was completely hidden, but it was hidden for the most part, and it involved a child doing something certainly we would not say was okay. Now, I'm not saying it's the child's fault, but they were involved. Now, this the parent felt so humiliated by this that their child would do this, felt so embarrassed that I don't even think their family knew that it happened, because they don't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
So how do you fix it?
How do you fix it? I think, you know, one of my goals as a pastor, and certainly even being on this with you and what I do, is to get people...
We're having these conversations, so that's important.
Yeah. Is to get people to understand that God designed everyone with a real purpose for a wonderful life. And they've got to decide that it's... I need to turn my life around. I had someone come into me the other day, this week, and they walked into my office, into the church, and they looked scared to death. And this guy said, can I talk to you, Pastor? I said, yeah, you can talk. Went in my office. He said, you're the only pastor I know, and I need to talk to you. He said, I'm having open heart surgery tomorrow. He said, I'm scared to death. I need to get right with God. And here's the thing. Why don't you get right with God before you have open heart surgery? And getting right with God doesn't just mean I believe in God. It means, what does God require of me in my life to do what's right and be the person I should be? And I think that we've missed that boat, and everyone's grabbing at straws. It's like you know, we're treading water, and everyone's legs are getting real tired. And the whole point is, God tells us to give our burdens to Him, and He'll take care of them. Says that His yoke is light. let me take, you know, take on my yoke. It's light. I'll take care of you. And that's talking about, of course, the yoke of two oxen. But the point is that, you know, we don't do that anymore. We don't teach it. We don't talk about it. Everyone's made to feel guilty because of either where they were born, how they were born. You have this in your background, so you're systemically this, that, or the other. And it can be all kinds of things, you know. Well, we pigeonhole everybody. God made us all equal. God made us the same. We may not eat the same, talk the same, walk the same, look the same, have money the same. But our intrinsic value is all the same in God's eyes. And he said, just, I want you to recognize it, and I want you to accept my son. It's simple as that. And we've gotten away from that. And since we've gotten away from that, once you start getting to a point that people don't want to talk about things, or they don't want that personal responsibility with their own lives, it just all goes out the window. And that's kind of where we're at today.
But didn't you do the thing? Or didn't your child do the thing? I mean, you can blame the person who might let the cat out of the bag. You can blame the person who might judge you. You can do that. That's fine. If you want to blame them, go ahead. But the point is, isn't the real problem that it happened? They wouldn't have that story to tell, or that I don't even know what you would call it. It's just gossip in a way. But they would not have that if it did not happen. Why did it happen in the first place? Why can't we look at that? Why did that awful thing happen? Why did that embarrassing thing happen? Why did you do that thing? You gave that person the power to apparently lord it over you to where you're embarrassed or you're worried or blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe we should go back to point A. Why did you do it?
Well, they did it because they don't have any moral standing. They don't have any moral basis to stand on. That's where we're at. You know, I see kids today, it's and I talk to kids, teenagers a lot. I mean, when I first followed the call to ministry, I wanted to be a youth pastor, and for the simple reason that I wanted to help kids not be where I had been. And I wanted them to have a better life than I did. And I wanted me to be able to help them, guide them to where they wouldn't. And I've never lost that, even though I'm not a youth pastor. I've always spent a lot of time with young people and tried to help them. One of the things that I've seen that's really in the last 40 years or so is this thing with kids today. They do what they call, they hook up. I mean, you used to have a girlfriend, and yeah, maybe you did things you shouldn't, or a girl saved herself to marriage like they should, and that kind of thing. But now they just hook up. Well, and you know that. And what happens? You got on a date, you expect to have sex, and maybe someone else the next night. I recently know of someone that was having a child and had no clue who the father was. No clue. It could have been a number of different guys, because that weekend she was with two or three different guys, depending on it. That used to be something that was taboo. Today it's a norm, and it's just protect yourself. But here's the problem. Here's what hurts with that, is that even though you might protect yourself so you don't get a disease, blah, 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 on and on, it takes who you are, and it makes you feel cheap.
Well, and this, you know, this is so fascinating you bring this up, because a lot of times we throw that down on kids, and it should be, because that is going on.
Their adults are doing this. What do you think they learn?
Well, that's what I say. You know, here's what, this to me is the ultimate thing with the divorce rate and having a lot of people you're in relationships with. Okay, if you are an adult and your kid is watching that, and the society's watching,
they're going to do the same thing.
Yeah, but okay, you're married. You're obviously having a physical relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how many? We get to four marriages. Well, there's four physical relationships we know of. We get to maybe three personal. Well, now we're up to seven. Now, when somebody's coming into that relationship, well, hey, you're number eight. That used to be taboo. That how many people are you around?
Which is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, why?
Here's the point. You can't have any self-esteem and self-worth if you don't have any pride in who you are, and the fact that you're, you know, if you get tossed around like a piece of meat, it's not long until you feel like a piece of meat. And that goes for guys and girls both. You know, I can't trust this person. I talk to young men and young women both that tell me, who am I supposed to date? I don't want somebody that you know, the minute I turn my back, they're sleeping with my friend. But that's a norm today. And they want that. We were designed for a special relationship. For crying out loud, it's pretty bad when we have to learn from the birds, because birds mate for life.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what I'm saying? It's pretty bad when we have to learn from the four-legged and two-legged creatures that mate for life. When we're people that just, and it's destroying the self-worth of our young people. And if we don't get a hold of some of this morality and stuff, you know, every country, every society, every nation that has ever fallen down, one of the first things that happened to that nation is they morally went bankrupt. And when you go morally bankrupt, everything else falls around you, because now it's okay to lie, it's okay to cheat, it's okay to steal, it's okay to stay at home and have live in mom and dad's basement until you're 50 years old, because, you know, hey, why should I work? Mom and dad are still feeding me. Where's your self-worth and your drive?
But we want them to be happy. We want to be happy.
Happiness.
That's what it all is.
Uh-oh. Now, can you remember this if I say this? We're at the end of the show.
3 minutes.
Can we talk about
happiness?
About happiness next week.
Did we ever get to ghosting?
We never got to ghosting.
We have to write big letters here. Ghosting and happiness.
But the point is about happiness is this. Happiness is something that can either be cultivated, or it can be temporary. Okay. Which one do you want your child to be?
Marriage number five, temporary.
Huh?
Marriage number five, it's got to be temporary.
It's temporary. Hey, thank you guys for listening today.
We got about 2 minutes.
Oh, we do.
We do. Go continue on with your thought.
Okay. So, what I'm saying is that if we cultivate happiness, that is when we raise our children to work hard, to know what values are, to have self-respect, and then what comes out of that eventually, you teach them there's a God that loves them, and out of that will come a life that will produce some happiness. But if you're just throwing everything at them, they're going to expect that their whole life. They're going to jump from relationship to relationship, job to job. Whatever makes them happy at the minute, that's what they're going to do, and ultimately, nothing makes them happy.
You know, I had a married person. I was talking to a married person. They were married on their third marriage, and I'm not going to judge it, but I already have, obviously.
Yeah.
I already have, but I was talking to them, and honestly, I never dreamed this was the answer I would get, because I was with two unmarried people and this third married person, and my question was, what do you think of marriage? And the married person is the one who said, I don't think you need marriage. I think it's just paperwork. No, you're married for the third time. This is not a good sign.
Can I tell you guys something? You know, marriage in our culture, when we believe that it began, is a covenant relationship. It was always a covenant relationship between a man and a woman. And that meant that you signed on the dotted line, and it was for life. And when you start cheapening marriage and tossing it around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's why you don't think that it's never just a piece of paper. And quite frankly, it never was a piece of paper. It was something that two people did before God. And once the state gets involved, we know that once the state gets involved in anything, it falls apart, right?
Well, don't we know by marriage number five that forever keeps getting to be a shorter amount of time? Because you just got less life to live.
Oh, by far.
Marriage
absolutely,
number five.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm glad that was the one. That's the
it
one
used
that
to be a
out.
Hollywood thing.
Yeah. Well, it seemed like a long time when you got married at 20, but boy, when you're getting married, you know, at 50, 60, well, you ain't got, maybe you can make it.
Hey, I've been married 46 years, and it's been ups and downs, but I wouldn't trade her for the world.
And we're done.
God bless you guys.
Of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray.
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous. As I wrote in the book, I mean, they never let me